Jersey Guy Sports, the home of sports talk about the Yanks, Giants, Rangers, and Rutgers. I'm your host, Don. Today we're going to be talking about the Giants hiring a general manager, Jim Schoen. The Rangers split two games over the weekend. Rutgers lost a road game they really had to win. And the Cincinnati Bengals are in the AFC Championship, and how important it is to have a great quarterback. So let's go ahead and get started with the Giants. The Giants hired their new general manager, and it looks like it's a great choice. His name is Jim Schoen, although it's spelled S-C-H-O-E-N. It's pronounced Schoen, as their new general manager. Schoen replaces Gettleman, who just sucked. Gettleman is about the worst general manager I can remember for any team in history in the NFL. Honestly, I'm sorry about the hyperbole, but Gettleman was just awful and drove this team into the ground. He was 19-46, Gettleman, in his 4 years in running the Giants football operations as general manager. 19-46. It's really hard to be worse than that. Awful. And good riddance to Gettleman, thank God. As far as Joe Schoen, he's the current Buffalo assistant general manager. He helped build this very, very good Bills team. And in Buffalo, he's done a little bit of everything. He had a hand in things like personnel, analytics, communications, football operations, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So he seems like a great choice. He's young. He's 42. And he's going to be a welcome sight for folks around here. And he is said to have complete control over football operations for the Giants. And that's something that's sadly needed around here. It's a change. He was a finalist for other jobs too, general manager, in the hirings in this offseason. I think the Panthers and maybe the Falcons also tried to hire him. So the Giants hopefully are off to a good start here. And the next piece of this will be Joe hiring the next head coach for the Giants. So I'll have to come back and talk about that when it happens. He will be the point man for this search and probably have most of the say in determining who the Giants' next head coach is. So that is a great thing. Time will tell, obviously. It's hard to sort of judge general managers before anything is done. And the signs are good. All the reports about him are excellent, and we'll see how this works out. Speaking of rising teams and the need to rise, the Cincinnati Bengals are in the AFC Championship game, amazingly. A couple of years ago, they were at the bottom of the league in the NFL, and they were just a terrible team. But you know what they did? They drafted a great quarterback, and the importance of having a great quarterback cannot be overstated. Joe Burrow is fantastic. He has led the rise of this team. They were awful, and now they're in the AFC Championship game due to a lot of things, but most importantly, due to Joe Burrow's and the impressive offense that now, you know, is possible when you have a great quarterback. Daniel Jones for the Giants. I'm sorry, Jones ain't it. He is not a great quarterback. He's not going to be. He's average at best. And for folks that watch the Giants, I'm sorry, you know this to be true. And so it kind of is quite a stark contrast when you watch Burrows and the Bengals and Jones and the Giants. So we'll have to see what Joe Schoen and the new head coach think of Jones and whether or not he is going to be the quarterback of the Giants for the future. I hope not, certainly, but time will tell there as well. So good luck to the Giants. We'll see how Joe Schoen does as the new GM. And you have to be positive about this because it cannot be any worse than having Gettleman and Joe Judge around. So we're looking forward to the future here, and let's go, Giants. I want to move on and talk a little bit about Rutgers basketball now. Rutgers lost to Minnesota on Saturday. Minnesota, this is hard because Minnesota was 1-5 in the Big Ten and also was a team that was just completely decimated by COVID. They almost didn't have the damn game. They were down to 7 scholarship players on Saturday. And by the way, 7 is the minimum in the Big Ten that you actually need to continue with the game. Had one more player had COVID, they could not even play the game. That is how bad Minnesota was. They're 1-5 in the Big Ten before Saturday, and half the team was gone and out with COVID. But Because folks that know Rutgers know, Rutgers seems almost genetically engineered to lose on the road, as if it's in their DNA. Of course, Rutgers found a way to lose the friggin' game. It is absolutely insane how awful Rutgers is on the road. I mean, they played okay this time, but as always, they did not play well enough and found a way to lose. They simply cannot win road games year after year after year. Rutgers missed shot after shot after shot down the stretch. And while Gio was great in the second half, they went from maybe about the 7-minute mark left in the game to about 1 minute left without scoring. No points in six straight minutes until there was 1 minute left against a team that was really not good. They were shooting hot, but they're not a good team, and half the team was decimated, out with COVID. Honestly, I get pissed off watching Rutgers on the road. It's not even an enjoyable experience for me. They annoy the living shit out of me watching them play on the road. They're at home, and while they're not some great NCAA team, they look good. They make good passes. They hit a few shots, and they play decently well. They go on the road, and it's like it's a different team out there. It's like it's not even the same team. They are simply genetically engineered not to win. By the way, at the end of this game, Rutgers was down by 1 point. They had the ball, inbounding it under Minnesota's basket with about 6 seconds left or something. And for a little background, Harper was not good at all this game. He was not good. Not one bit. Gio, on the other hand, who's been really absent from games lately, has played a great game. He was hitting everything, three-pointer after three-pointer, really looking like the Gio Baker of old, and was fantastic in the second half of yesterday's game, and maybe the only Rutgers player that looked great in the second half. He was carrying that team. So naturally, with 6 seconds left, down by one, they inbound it, not to him, but to Harper. Whoever decided this, I don't understand. It was the most ridiculous, asinine call I've seen. So they get the ball on Ron Harper, and of course, you know, he proceeds to commit an offensive foul, turn the ball over to Minnesota, and Rutgers loses the friggin' game. It was just another way on the road that Rutgers finds to lose, and it drives me nuts. What a pathetic, asinine, stupid friggin' call at the end of the game to try to inbound the ball to Harper. I don't understand it. I don't know if it was Coach Peichel's idea or what happened, but they continue to find new ways to lose on the road every single time, and it drives me nuts. It's frustrating as hell, and they feel like and they look like they're a different team. I don't know if it's a confidence thing or what. And when you look at the game yesterday, or whenever you guys are listening to this, they played on Saturday afternoon. Harper played well. Did not play well. Gio did play well. Maybe Mulcahy played pretty well. He is sort of a consistent force with assists anyway. But not too many others did. And again, it's the same old story. And it's frustrating and annoying. And Rutgers has to fix it. This was a loss that severely hurt any hopes they have of making the NCAA tournament. And at some point, they're going to have to wake up and beat these teams that are beatable. And if a team that's 1-5 in the conference and is at the minimum amount of scholarship players to actually play a game can beat you, then it doesn't feel like you're going to be an NCAA tournament team. And that's what it feels like to Rutgers now, and it drives me nuts. So hopefully something changes. It does not seem that way. Let's move on and talk about the Rangers. The Rangers split a pair of games over the weekend. They lost to the Hurricanes on Friday night and frankly looked overmatched. And then they had a huge comeback win on Saturday against Arizona. Speaking of coaches, like Peichel choosing to inbound the ball to Harper, speaking of coaches making poor decisions, Gallant for the Rangers chose to start Georgiev against an outstanding Carolina Hurricanes team Friday night. Why exactly was that done? It's unthinkable. You have the best goalie in the league in Shesterkin, and you choose to play your backup goalie against what looks to be a Stanley Cup contending team in the Carolina Hurricanes, and the Rangers paid the price. Now, it wasn't just goaltending that lost this game. Lots of reasons, and generally, when you look at the game, the Hurricanes are just a better team. They seem like a tier above the Rangers in every way, but certainly having a fantastic goalie tends to mitigate a lot of differences in teams. But the Rangers chose to go with Georgiev, and we were never really in the game to start. Faceoffs again hurt the Rangers in this game. We had two power play goals against us, faceoff losses deep in our zone. The only good thing to really say about this game is the Rangers' power play got back on track. They scored two power play goals on Friday night. Panarin really didn't show up. A lot of the big stars did not show up. Panarin in particular needs to show up a little more in some of these big games. He's been great, as always, this year, but a couple of these big games, he either gets shut down or just is not involved enough. The takeaway from the Friday night game is that the Rangers at this point do not appear to be in the same class as Carolina. We need some more consistency, and we probably need to make some moves at the trade deadline. We'll have to see what's available and what the Rangers do. They do have some cap space this year to bring in some rentals, and we're going to have to see what it is that can be brought in to help this team against the upper tier teams, because Carolina appears a tier above the Rangers at this point in time. Then Saturday, with Shesterkin and goal, we somehow managed to be down 3-1 to a pretty bad Coyote team. But then there was a goal explosion, and we came back, and the Rangers ended up winning 6-3. Kreider has a hat trick. Kreider overtook Ovechkin for the league lead in goals. And I think we need to have a moment of silence for that, because if you were going to Vegas and we're going to put down some money a couple years ago and say, you know what, in 2 years, I'm going to bet that Chris Kreider will be leading in goals in 2022 and we'll have more goals than Ovechkin, you could probably get 1,000,000 to 1 on that bet. So the fact that Kreider is leading the NHL in goals, and this is being recorded Sunday, the 23rd of January, 2022, is amazing. It's just nuts. Kreider is really having a great year. I have been a very big critic of Chris Kreider over the years. Kreider has been annoying. He has terrible stick handling skills. So many times over the past years, he's been streaky as hell. He would be, I would liken him in a certain way to Stanton on the Yankees, in that when he is on, he can be dominating. He can absolutely dominate a game in past years. And when he's off, he's just terrible, and you don't even see him. 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 games, nothing. That's how he's been his entire career up until this year. And Stanton the same way for the Yankees, dominating for 6 or 8 weeks and then awful for the next 2 months. This year, though, Kreider has not been that. He has been consistently good. He has been even better around the front of the net than he's been in the past. His deflecting of pucks on the power play and at other times from right in front of the goalie is really second to none. Somehow, a person with awful stick handling skills is excellent at deflections. For someone that can deflect so well, for him, when he receives a pass, oh, it's just off his stick, or he goes in on a breakaway and the puck slides off his stick. Amazingly, he has tremendous hands for deflections, and he's really not missing open chances as much this year. So, hey, kudos to Kreider. He's leading the league in goals. He has 29. He had a hat trick on Saturday. Good for him. In addition to that, Jacob Trouba has really stepped up. There's a night and day difference in Trouba from the past 2 years to this year. He came in being touted as a really good defenseman, and I have not seen it the last 2 years. He's another one that I've been quite a critic of. While he's been okay at times, before this year, he has not been anywhere near what I thought he would be. This year, he has stepped up in every way. He had a couple goals over the weekend. He's tough all the time. He's good defensively. He hits. He has such a hard slap shot. He's good on the power play. This year, Jacob Trouba is becoming what we need Jacob Trouba to be, and really one of the better defensemen in the league. He has been outstanding this year, and hopefully that continues. In this game against Arizona, he was great, although the team in the first period to get down 3-1, we had some, again, some defensive lapses, some poor defensive coverage, it's hard to know why this happens sometimes with the Rangers. Again, this is not a good team, but we just had some mental breakdowns. It's interesting to note that the Rangers consistently beat the lesser teams. There was a stat that MSG had on the other night where they are, I think, undefeated in regulation against sort of the bottom eight teams in the conference. They're like 20-0-3 now, and maybe they're 50-50 or just less than 50-50 against the upper echelon team. So they certainly take care of business, the Rangers, but it does go to show that the Rangers really might be, you know, a class below the upper echelon, where they consistently beat the worst teams, but not so much with the upper echelon teams. So more consistency is needed, as we talked about. And as the year goes on, we'll need to see probably some trade moves before the deadline and maybe some tweaking to see if we can just make it a little bit better. And who knows, maybe we get a hot goalie and make a run in the playoffs. We're all hoping for that, because this year the Rangers are better than they've been in quite some time. And that's all I have for you guys today. So thanks for listening to the Jersey Guy Sports Podcast. Please tell your friends if you like what you're hearing, and we'll be back soon with some more sports talk. Thanks, and have a good day.